All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Apologize for the late start for our Sunday school hour, but here we are, church, and we made it. It's a unique morning for my wife and I. Thank you for your prayers for those of you who got our text messages from being breaking down on the side of the road with our 78 Chevy Great Grandbaby truck, and I hope that we can get her started hopefully before tomorrow because we wanted to get our couch, y'all. We wanted to get our couch. All right, well, anyways, let's go ahead and continue. And our Sunday school hour in the green book, The Eternal God, The Eternal God. If you have the study book with you, if you don't, that's fine. We're just covering here a sure foundation, just taking this time to go over this material as a refresher for some of our brethren here. And I highly encourage you to read this book. If you don't have this book, let me know. I will get you a copy. But essentially, this is a great book foundation to cover Christianity, to inform you. And I believe that once you get a hold of the material covered here, you will have enough understanding of the Bible, New Testament basics to be able to adequately teach somebody else, adequately present some Bible truth to somebody else, because Brother James talks about the Bible. He talks about the attributes of God, the character of God, Jesus Christ, the Trinity, and it will give you such a really good foundation so you can have a conversation. And that's what it's all about, being a help with these materials to help believers grow in their knowledge of God. So, with that said, join me. We're just going to open up with a quick word of prayer, and then we'll pick up on page number 31, The Eternal God, and then we're going to pick up on our new chapter, The Unchangeable God. I think these two can real easily. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for allowing your daughter Katie and I to make it here safely to church, Lord. We had a unique trip on our way here, Lord, but I thank you that we were able to minister to Pedro, the tow truck driver, God. I just want to pray for Pedro's salvation this afternoon. I ask, God, that you would use that tract and our testimony and our mannerisms, God, his spirit was open to receive us and receive our conversing about you, Lord God. I pray that it has an effect, Lord, and I just pray that he'd read that tract and consider my offer, Lord. Just be a friend, Lord, as he's there in Fallbrook, God, and I pray for his salvation and his family, Lord, and his children. Thank you for their upkeeping and their well-being as he's working hard to provide, God, for his children. That sure was an encouragement to me. Father, thank you for those who came here for the Sunday school hour. Would you please minister to us, feed us some snacks before the main service? And I pray that you would help my mind to be at peace, to clarify as I process myself getting ready for this Sunday sermon. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. What we are talking about in this portion of our study on the Sunday school hour is the attributes of God, and specifically the eternal God. We're talking about the eternality of God, if that's the word. If not, it is today. Amen. That just simply means the everlasting presence of God, that he is existed. He is an eternal being. He is outside of time, space, and matter, and thereby that is how we as humans, if you will, have been able to have enough logic and rationale to describe God. That is, in general, an eternal being who is outside of the limitations that you and I are in, which is time, space, and matter. 1 Timothy 6, we learn that his rule is absolute, talking about the God of the Bible, of course, as the all-powerful God. He rules and reigns with power. He is not limited by any king, any kingdom, any force, or any army on this earth. Here's what the Bible says, speaking of Jesus Christ, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Let's go and look up that word potentate together here on our 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary. The word potent here, a person who possesses great power or sway, a prince, a sovereign, an emperor, king, or monarch. And so how did God preserve that understanding for you in your English tongue? Here's what God said concerning his son. There's going to come a time in which he is going to demonstrate to whoever thinks they are the king, whoever considers themselves great or of great power or of great esteem, if you will, with the worldly governments and the worldly councils of men, whoever they think there are, here's what Jesus Christ is going to do one day. He's going to come down here. He's going to show them, I'm the boss. I'm the man. I am in control. I'm in charge. I am going to show you that in due time. You best get ready for that. We talked about that on our Wednesday night Bible studies ago concerning Jesus Christ coming back to establish his future kingdom and rule in Jerusalem. Right now, he's waiting as a prince, if you will, from the book of Acts chapter 4, but he will come and he will establish his kingdom. And no matter what the world councils are doing, no matter what the powers are doing here in the deep state government of the United States, the deep state government of the United Kingdom, global councils, if you will, and it doesn't matter Mexico, the Philippines, it doesn't matter Russia, Africa, whoever those powers think they are with the means of establishing themselves, hence those folks that have the money, as they say, make the world go round and round, the monopoly, if you will, Jesus Christ is going to come down here and show them who is boss. So friend, don't become overwhelmed with sadness or grief as you do acknowledge the corruption on the earth and the governments. Just one day, just know your king is going to come down here and he is going to rule and reign, and you're going to be a co-ruler with him as a what? King and priest. Do you remember that, Christian? So we talked about that. All right. He is the king above every king and the Lord supreme over all lords, and there is no greater ruler. He will never have his throne taken from him or give his throne to another. He will rule and reign in absolute power for all eternity. Not only are all the kingdoms and the kings and the rulers to be subject to the Lord Jesus Christ, but creation also obeys him as well. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. And for those of you, again, just tuning in either online or in-house, what we're just simply discussing here is the eternal attributes of God, specifically the Lord Jesus Christ of the Godhead, concerning his rule or reign or his power over men, that is the established governments of men or mankind on the earth, whether they're worldly councils, worldly powers, governments, king, monarchies. And number two, the creation itself. Those are the natural forces of creation, whether it's wind, water, rain, fire, you know. Look at Matthew 5, and let's go together now to verse number 44 through 45. All right, here's what the Bible says here. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. All right, so we need to work on that. Amen. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Church, just a side nugget, this is not a part of our notes, but again, that's why we're discussing not too long ago here at our services of being compassionate, just like our God, being because our God was merciful to us before we got saved. Our God sent that sun to energize, if you will, the creation to cause food to get to your plate, to get into your belly. That's how good the God of the Bible was to you before you got saved. Our God was so good that he sent the rain to fall down in the crops that at some point you consumed in your belly. Our God was so good, he gave man understanding and knowledge to create a house for you to live in, to build, to manufacture, if you will. So just remember, even before you became a born-again Christian, the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, Jehovah, he was a good God. He's always been a good God. Come on, go ahead. Yes. Oh, S-U-N. There you go. Because that planet, star, it's God's. Yeah, yeah. So just the planetary, yep. So back there in Genesis, of course, that as soon as God said, let there be light. In this context, I think he's just referring to the creation. And so the creation is subject to the power of God. And so if God wanted to, for example, stop the rotation of the earth so that way the sunlight could be there for a season. I don't know where it is in the Old Testament, but you guys can study. There's I don't know if it was Joshua was fighting in a battle, and he said, Lord, don't let that sun go down. All right, stop. And he killed everybody, and then it went. So he has the ability to control the natural forces. So he's just making a reference here to literally the sun, the actual star. But if you do go to the Old Testament, I think there is a reference where it is capitalized, and that is also a metaphor for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's in Micah or somewhere, but we'll look it up later. Thank you for that comment. Anytime, any comment. All right, so here we have it. He has the control over the natural forces. Again, praise God, before we got saved, we recognize now, wow, he was good. He was good to me before I became a Christian. He gave me food. He gave me rain. And let's go here to one more portion on this. Let's go to the book of Acts, if you will. Chapter number, I think this is going to be in 14. If you can go there with me, chapter 14. What I find unique, church, is if you get a chance, there's different ways of presenting the gospel that the apostles presented to the Jewish mindset, if you will. So all you got to do is go to the book of Acts and study Acts chapter 2. You're going to see how Peter preached to the Hebrews. Go to Acts chapter 4. You're going to see how Peter and the other disciples, John, preached to the Hebrews. Acts chapter 7, you're going to see and preach to the Hebrews, not really making references to the natural forces, if you will, not really making references to the earth and the world and food and clothing. But here's Paul. He's going to preach to the Gentiles, and without really quoting a lot of Bible scriptures in his what we call apologetic, that his defense for the faith, he's just talking about life. And he's just saying, look, you guys know this God, he was good to you. Why? He gave you food. The God that I'm talking about, he's the one who gave you them clothes. Watch this. Look at here in Acts chapter 14. And of course, right after they saw supernatural miracles, here's what the Gentiles saw. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lysania, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. You see, these are just natural Gentiles. They're just equating something supernatural that they've never seen with something of divine authority, if you will. They recognize these men just performed a miracle. They must be divine, just like all these gods we've been talked about, or we've been taught about, you know, from our... And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he's the chief speaker. So now you guys know some of those, the Greek pantheon of gods. You guys understand that polytheism. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Man, they were very thankful. Now, before we start saying, well, look at those idolaters, you know, those heathen, if you will, they are just trying to say thank you with what just happened. And it meant something good happened, and they're just in their natural Gentile mindset. We don't have the true God. We don't have a light from him. We don't have the laws like he gave Israel, but we have a little conscience. We understand what these guys just did is supernatural, and we're just going to say thank you. All right, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes, crying out, sirs, do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you. Isn't that awesome? When we go out there preaching, you guys have been there with us. Praise God. I'm going to boast a little bit about them, brethren, today at Sunday service. But what are we telling the people? Hey, we're all sinners. We're just like you. We're not any more perfect, whether it's a homosexual, sodomite, whether it's a gangster, whether it's a guy on drugs, like I talked to last Thursday. When I'm telling somebody about Jesus Christ, the initial impression they have, because they, yes, unfortunately, there are believers out there, too superficial, they come off too heady and high-minded, and they condemn everybody. No, wait a second. You know what Paul said? Hey, friend, we're just like you guys. We're sinners. But let me tell you about what our God did for us, he can do for you. See that? That's a good mindset. Look, he says, we are preaching unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. So yes, you still tell them the truth in love. You see that? Which made heaven. Now look at how he's going to present it. Look, this God that I'm telling you about, he's the one that made heaven, earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. You see, this God I'm telling you about, friends, he allowed you and your forefathers to just live on this earth to do what you guys wanted to do with the knowledge and the limited light that you guys received of this God, that God permitted that of you. Well, when you read that Old Testament, he didn't permit that of one people on the earth. And who are they? The nation of Israel. Remember, the children of Israel. So yes, he dealt one way with these folks, if you will, concerning the judgments and the laws. But for the Gentiles, everybody else around this earth, whether they're the Mayans, the Aztecs, your forefathers in the Philippines, my forefathers in Mexico, hey, God suffered you to do your thing. But verse number 17, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. In other words, here's how God communicated with you Gentiles out there. In that he did good, all right, so he's a good God, and here's what we're going to tell you about that, and gave us rain from heaven. Notice, food, or rain, I'm sorry, the natural forces. Number two, seasons. There's your agriculture. There is the supply of your food chain. And number three, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Wow. Gentile, here's what Jehovah God did. You know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gave you guys that food you guys are eating. He sent the rain to come on your crops. And you know how good he is? He gave you the joy and the feeling of happiness when you consumed your food, when you fellowship with your family, and when you fellowship with your friends. All that happiness, all that joy that you have in this existence, yeah, that's because of my God. Isn't that a blessing? And of course, with these sayings, scarce restrained they of the people that they had not done sacrifice. They really convince them, don't do it, because they really wanted to say thank you guys. So what did I just wanted to add that with, church? God is all powerful, and nature is subject to him, as we just saw. the rain, the food, the agriculture, the sun, the planetary stars, the planetary systems, the universe, if you will. By his power, God makes the sun to rise. By his power, God sends the rain. He rules over nature. That is God's power, and man and man's destiny are in God's hands. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Very similar to what we just read here in Acts 14. So again, as we identify and see Paul preaching to Gentiles, usually, he's going to not necessarily quote Old Testament Bible, you know, giving somebody some scripture. He's just going to talk about, look, God gave you that food you're eating. God provided you with clothing. God provided you with joy and happiness, family and friends and life. Yeah, but this is what this God now is expecting of you to do. And let's talk about that right now. Verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein. See, very similar to what he said in Acts 14. This is Paul. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. So since he created it, what does that make him? The ruler over it. He is the master over it. He is the one in control over those physical actions. Dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Yes, friend, you need to understand your little shrine that you have there is not God. And I'll share that with you Sunday service with my family yesterday, because as you guys know, Mexican culture is very superstitious with the Day of the Dead and the shrines and the altars and all this. But I tried my best to tell him in love. I'll tell you about it in a little bit. He doesn't dwell on that thing, sister. It has nothing to do with God, sister. Actually, you can have the real God, right? But it's invisible, and we'll get to that. But notice that. Verse 25, neither is worship men's hands as though he needed anything. How about that? He don't need you. He don't need me. He don't need my money. He don't need your money. But you know what? He desires a relationship with all men. How about that? Seeing he giveth to all life, and watch this, breath and all things. Do you see that, church? And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all of the face of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from what? Is that what it says? Every one of us. What do you mean by that, Brother Carl? If that Mexicano and the little pueblo out there with his little limited knowledge he has, if he truly sought to know the true God, the Creator, God said, you look for me, you'll find me. Right now, that little indigenous fellow in the Philippine Islands or in the Amazonian jungle, if they truly sought to know the truth about the Creator, God said, you'll find me. That's why, as he said earlier in Acts 14, this is how he gave witness of himself to you. Before you came to know him, he provided you life, the breath in your lungs, food, clothing, happiness. That God did that for you. Isn't that a blessing? In him we live and move and have our being. As certain we are also his offspring. Did you notice, though, in verse number 27, that after telling you that God is your maker, telling you that God made all things, after telling you that God gave you life, the Bible said that men would seek the Lord and they would feel after him, and that some would find him, though he be not far from every one of us. If God is not far from every one of us, how is it that so many people have such a hard time finding him? Brother James. Because they are feeling after him. My friends, God made the earth. But though you touch the earth, every day the earth is not God. God made the wood, the stone, the air, the wind, the sunlight, all things that you see, taste, touch, and feel, and experience. God made all those things, but those things are not God any more than you are God. They are simply things that God made, just as you are a creation. Son that God made. God is, and you may find him. You get down on your knees and say, God, I want to know you, and God will make himself known to you through a gospel witness or through the pages of the Holy Bible. Now, before we continue, again, that's Bible. We don't necessarily often, as you guys know, you guys have been here for many, many months. I don't take time to correct and expose every system of men or philosophies of Christian interpretation, but the Reformed position or the Calvinistic position is obviously incorrect in the context of men having an opportunity to seek God. Because here we have it. he sought God. Or the Gentiles have the ability to seek God. Amen. One more on this topic of seeking God. I think in the book of Jeremiah, bear with me, church. Let's turn there. Jeremiah chapter number, let's see here. I believe it's in chapter 29. Allow me a moment here to use this. This has been used by many a believer. Let's see here. Ah, here it is. Look at here, Jeremiah 29:12. Here we have a Hebrew prophet speaking to the nation of Israel, but I think the truth is still very good, an application for what we're discussing here this morning concerning men seeking God and being found. Watch this. Verse number 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall watch us, and find me when ye shall search me with some of your heart. Is that what it says? It says all. So again, right now, if my Mexicano brother who lives in the little pueblo in Tezopaco, Sonora, if right now he sought to seek out the one true God with all his heart, and my sobrinos, my nephews and sobrinas, my nieces, if all those living in that little pueblo, if they all sought to seek the one and true living God, according to God, you can find me. But until you do it with all your heart. So that's the point. Let's come back here one more on this discussion. Let's go back to Acts 17. What do they need to do? So one, they need to seek him. We understand that. Two, they need to be willing to pray and communicate. Obviously, I know it's going to be to the unknown God, like he said in Acts 17. They're not necessarily going to have a picture of him, right? They're, as much as they have idols, their little statues or images. But let's come back here to Acts 17, and I guess we'll just verse number 29. He already told these Gentiles, this is how good this God has been to you. He gave you life. He gave you breath, clothing, food, all that. That's how good this God that I'm telling you about has been good to you. But now, friend, even though he's allowed you and permitted you and your forefathers to walk after such a manner in these own ways for this so many time, here's what he expects of you now. Not only do you have the witness from heaven concerning the rain, the sun, all the natural elements to provide life for all men, but now, number two, you're going to have a written revelation, an oral revelation concerning the gospel. Look here. Here in verse number 29, Acts 17. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now, do you see that, church, commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. So before we close for the Sunday school hour, he is the eternal God. He has these attributes. And on these attributes concerning how he makes his power known through the natural elements or the forces, the sun, the light that the moon reflects at night, but opportunity for the earth and its vegetation and the agriculture to grow and all that. We saw that. He said that was his witness. That's God communicating to men that have been outside of his written revelation concerning the nation of Israel. And based off that, that's the connection he makes from verse 24 and 25. But now, friend, here is the latest message that this God gives to you. Yep, all those images, it ain't going to happen. That ain't God. The little stones, the little altars, that ain't God, my friend. Here's what God expects of you now. He wants you to repent, because here's what he has appointed, a day. And it is this man that, again, Paul is presenting to the Gentiles, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to judge the world. So if they truly seek to know that, if they truly seek to respond to that truth, according to the God of the Bible, if they seek him, if they feel after him, if they search him with all their heart, God, if you're up there somewhere, would you show me? I want to know the truth greater. He, in his divine prerogative, in his divine wisdom, somehow, somewhere, our God is so good enough, and he is so kind of to raise up a believer, to raise up a Christian, or somehow, someway, I do not explain it, he will give that man a little further light to respond to the gospel, because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And for one last concerning Cornelius, he responded to the light that God gave him. And rather than using an angel, no, he raised up Peter the apostle. Peter, go over there, tell him about Jesus, and I'm going to save his soul. So those are the eternal attributes, his abilities and his controls over the natural elements and forces of the creation. And then lastly, again, we just went on a side trail concerning presenting the gospel to the Gentile, talking about, again, just that, the food, the clothing, the raiment, the life, the spirit you have of life in you. Hey, that God provided that for you, but now here's what he expects of you. Amen. Anybody questions? All good? All right. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the Sunday school hour, Lord. A little short snack, Lord, before we get ready for our Sunday sermon, Lord. Would you please bless the rest of our time together as we commit this work unto you, this rest of this time unto you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord, y'all. Take a 15-minute break. Get ready for Sunday service. Amen.
Thank you.